Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans. Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again. So tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms.
Money,
military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Friday, December. Wow, I'm a whole month, 2 months off. Friday, December the 23rd, 2016. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we want to talk about the three stages of enlightenment, three stages of development, spiritual growth. These three steps or these three stages, you are in one of these steps. You are in right now, as we speak, one of these stages. Yeah, these stages and these steps are so, how can I put this delicately, so profound, for lack of a better term, that it does require you to kind of take a step back and look at it from a holistic view, because this show and these steps are contrary to what's been taught out in Christendom or any ism. Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, Sufism, perennialism, whatever ism you are in, Most people don't ever look at it as something that is a, in the beginning anyway, something that is a kind of challenging, if you will, to the existing mentality or reality. So when we talk about your belief system, what are we talking about? We're talking about a set of ideals that govern behavior. So when we talk about a belief system, we're simply talking about a way that you think. So this way that you think, like, shapes your entire worldview. Every decision that you make is in line with your belief system. And so most people try to live within the parameters of this belief system. So when we talk about belief, it's just an, you know, it's a set, or it's a accepted system, whether it's political, whether it's sociology or social. This is the way that you govern your behavior. So belief systems give you a sense of reality. It's how we view the world. It's the mechanisms that we use to establish our individuality and make sense of the world. So everybody has beliefs. These beliefs and these belief systems are developed over time by, you know, our culture, by our environment, by the people that, you know, are in places of esteem, people that we look up to. But your belief system, again, is very dangerous if it's a flawed belief system. And so to actually start talking about and having an intellectual and spiritual conversation, we have to look at how belief systems are formed, whether we're talking about a social, a political, a, you know, cultural. What about your race? You know, your individual health. What about the way that you go about obtaining wealth upon a belief? So you carry yourself in a particular way based upon how you gather a group of acceptable or rejectable facts. And this belief system, my brothers and sisters, is so profound because it governs. It's like in control. And a lot of times, once the belief system is established, we never go back and reexamine it. So right now, you're operating with a belief system that probably has not been examined. And when you listen to shows, especially like the shows and the books that I'm talking about, and, you know, I put some stuff in my current series and current book, and when we get later on into that, we're going to talk about that saying. I always say that if you knew what I know, we probably would not be friends. So in chapter 11 and chapter 12 of my book, The Biology of the Temple of God, I have disclosed some of those things. And upon reading those things, that will determine whether or not your belief system will allow me and you to continue to be friends. Because there are some things in that book, and the next book, and the book after that, I mean, pretty much all of 2017, the books and the series that I'm going to be discussing, they are going to be very challenging to this current stage of the belief system that you're in. Now, everybody is in one of these three stages that it talks about in the Gospel of Thomas. But how did you get in that stage? Now, it's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we over and understand that these systems was kind of given to us. And it's very important that we understand that it's okay for us to actually look at. See, most of us don't even give ourselves permission to examine our belief systems, to just, you know, look at them and see if they are serving us. Make sure that they make sense. Make sure they're based upon some, like, historical and some, maybe some scientific, maybe some spiritual, you know, acronym or facts. But your belief system, brothers and sisters, was given to you. See, your belief system is formed by the very moment that you enter into this dimension. You begin developing your belief system at the time that you was birthed. So at birth, you came in and you was a blank slate. And from the time that that light hit your face or they smack you on the butt in that emergency room, you were startled. And that startlization process of what is called logical deduction. And this logical deduction, not introduction, deduction, meaning like you started stepping down instead of stepping up. And so we went through a process of developing rational. Supposedly it should be rational, but sometimes the information that we perceive and the way that we look at things are not rational. But whatever information comes at you in all of the different shapes and different forms, then you file it away inside of your brain. And as you mature, now your ability to understand expands. And now you are able to make, you know, more rational decisions as to whether or not I should take this information in or reject it. So in order to get a deeper understanding of the power of your beliefs and the power of how these beliefs was established, we've got to look at five things. First thing is that that should be some evidence. This is how you got your belief system. You had some evidence, number one. Second, you had some tradition. Third, it came from somebody in a position of authority. Now, you gave them that authority. They may not have none, but why are you listening to me today? Well, you're listening to me today because you allow me to speak. And the reason that you allow me to speak is because you give me some sense of authority, meaning that you see that maybe, hey, there is some value or worth in some of the things that the brother is saying. Then there is some association. So we have some type of association, whether it's just social media. And then lastly, there's some type of revelation. So there's something that I said that clicks and helps you to think outside of the box. And once you gather these five, once you use these five things every day to establish what is called the power of belief. Now, your belief is an invisible, I guess, thing. It's so powerful, in fact, that obvious things that you should not do, you actually do. See, how your perception of reality is viewed affects your cells. And your cells shape and mold matter around you so that the world fits into your belief. Your belief does not fit into the world. So your belief systems determine your reality or your perception, and your perceptions determine your reality. So our thoughts determine our box. Every expression and every conversation, all of your outward expressions is the result of the evidence. All of things that you think is the result of your tradition. Everything that you do is the result of the authority figures. Everywhere you go is the result of your associations. Everything that you do is the result of your revelations. And so now we're going to look at changing your beliefs. Because the beliefs that you have govern everything that you do. So as you grow and as you evolve, there is what we talked about, what I've been talking about. Sometimes you outgrow jobs. You outgrow workout routines. You outgrow diet and the way that you eat. When I was a kid, man, I just anything. Hey, as walking the streets at 13 with no job, anything that anybody offered me, I ate. I didn't care what it was. But now I outgrew that. I don't eat that way any longer. I've outgrown my beliefs. I've outgrown certain relationships. So through the process of growth and love, or evolve, because the word E-V-O-L, the V and the E is silent, is the word L-O-V-E. So when you evolve, that means you are in love. E-V-N, E-V-O-L, turn it around, L-O-V-E, love, in love. So the word evolve means in love. So again, the only way to grow and to evolve is to be in love. That means you find value, you find worth, you see something that allows you to outgrow your beliefs. What about when we were a kid, we all believed in Santa Claus? So what was it that made you outgrow your belief in Santa Claus? Now, if you think about it, you know, what, it could be Halloween. What about the Easter Bunny? Now, when we were a kid, you know, some of us actually really honestly believed that there was a bunny that walked around and laid eggs. Now, as strange as it may seem, there are kids today who actually still believe that. Because it's, you know, supposedly harmless. But then we got evidence. Then we looked at and did some research on the tradition. And then we talked to somebody that was in a position of authority. And then we started associating with the group or another people that this association led to us gathering more evidence. And then it led to us having a bam, a aha moment, revelation. So the evidence, the tradition, the authority, the association, then the revelation comes. And this revelation allows us to outgrow or just to continue to evolve. at least most of us. And so when we start to evolve, we leave this old belief system behind. And sometimes that unfortunately requires us to leave old associations behind. People, let's say we use a thug. Used to sell drugs, or used to do this, or used to do that. Then you grew up, and you realize that, hey, dude, man, this could end me up in prison. So you have evidence. You got somebody that you know, they get arrested. Then you look at all the thugs, you notice that, hey, there's no old thugs. You know, go to the hood. You never see no dudes my age slinging dope because they're all dead or in prison. So you look at the traditional slinging dope, and then you talk to somebody that's in prison. They're an authority figure, and they tell you, dude, get out the game, man. Because if you stay in the game, you're going to end up in here with me, or you're going to end up dead. And you start associating with people who are out of the game, out of the drug movement. And your associations are with other people, and they're not slanging dope. And so you get revelation. You get a revelation that says, hey, I'm getting out of the dope game because I looked at the evidence. I examined the tradition. I talked to somebody in the position of authority. I started hanging out with people who wasn't in the dope game, and I got a revelation that said, get out the dope game. So these five things help you to understand that, hey, I need to grow. I need to evolve. I need to change my core belief system because my core belief system doesn't serve me no more. Something has to stimulate that, brothers and sisters. Usually it's a sensory perception, meaning something that you see, something that you hear, something that you touch. These senses that you use are used to help you to evaluate your current situation. And upon evaluation, nothing happens until you evaluate. The thing that blows me away is most people don't even evaluate. People don't even ask the question, is my belief system real? They don't care. It was given to them by somebody, and they just rolling with it. They never ask, is it okay, you know what, hey, I've always lived in the hood, so I'm just going to stay in the hood. And there's nothing wrong with staying in the hood, but does it serve you? So in order to address your core belief, you have to have some type of a sensory perception that allows you to evaluate from a non-emotional position or place to gather something that can lead to a better response. So you use your senses to start the evaluation process and leave out your emotion and get some evidence that's going to allow you to make a response. Now, once all that happens, then you start getting into the real world. And what is the real world? The real world is the Gospel of Thomas. Now, in my book, I talk about in chapter 12 of the book, The Biology of the Temple of God. Well, I talk about the movie Stigmata. And in the movie Stigmata, there's a line in the movie that's from the Gospel of Thomas. And it talks about in this movie, along with the history, that how the Catholic Church or religion tried to cover up what I'm about to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify to you today. And that is, according to the Gospel of Thomas, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "And he said unto them, whoever finds the interpretations of these things will not experience death." So, when we talk about enlightenment, when we talk about spiritual growth and development, if you can understand the interpretation of what I'm about to say, you won't spiritually die. Now, you're going to physically die, but physical death is just, you're just transitioning. It's just a transition. So everybody's going to transition to the next plane, if you will, or to the next level. But my brothers and my sisters, some people, they don't want you to understand the Gospel of Thomas. So the Gospel of Thomas was purposely not included inside of the canon. And it was purposely limited so that way I never heard of it until I became an adult. Now, verse 2 of the Gospel of Thomas says something that is very, 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 very profound. This is where I get the three steps from. So the Gospel of Thomas, verse 2, says this. "And Jesus said unto them, let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds." So, brothers, sisters, a lot of people, they seek, but they stop before they find. Let me say that again. A lot of people, they start. Let me use my own children, for example. So my children grew up and they listen to a lot of the stuff I talk about, and then it kind of like challenged them, and so they got into stage one. After listening to me, they became... Let me read again, Gospel of Thomas, verse 2. Jesus said, let him who seek continue seeking continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, this is how you know you found it. When he finds, he will become troubled, number one. When he becomes troubled, he will become astonished, number two. When he is astonished, he will rule over all, number three. So everybody listening to this show, you are in one of those stages. Now, the interesting thing is that most of us don't really overstand. When I say overstand, meaning that acknowledge or say that we are actually in one of these stages. Now, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Jesus says, or the Gospel of Thomas says in verse 3, Jesus said, if those who lead you say to you, see, the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourselves, then you will become known. Only after you know yourself can you become known. And you will realize that it is you who are the sons of the living Father. But if you will not know yourselves, you will dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty. Now, the Gospel of Thomas is a dangerous book. What I just read, if you really could wrap your brain around what I just read, it would really cause some major problems in your cognitive dissonance. According to the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says that if anybody believe that the kingdom of God is anywhere else besides them, whatever they believe, that will go into the kingdom and they won't. So if you believe that the kingdom is in the sky, that means anything that's in the sky, that's whatever you believe the kingdom is, that will precede you into the kingdom. That means it's going to get there before you do. So the only way you get into the kingdom is if you believe that the kingdom is in you. Now, I've been saying that shizness for a long time, before even reading the Gospel of Thomas. So the Gospel of Thomas helped to validate everything that I have inside my book that I'm talking about right now, the biology of the temple of God. So everything that I've been saying that book was 650 pages. I was trying to get it down last night. Amen. I just gave up. You know, it's a 400-page book. I don't like making books that long because, you know, you can't read it in one sitting. So I try to get my books under two, but there's no way I could get the body. I left so much stuff out that I'm going to have to put that in the other book or make another book. Because it's just, I just wish everything that I know I could share. I wish there was a platform or a way that I could share, but it's just too encompassing. That's why in 2017, I'm just going to work with 25 people. I'm going to have four systems, and each person going to pick which system that they want to master, and I'm just going to work with people who want to master systems. So if you want to know everything that I know, then you pay the $5,000, and you're going to take the total enlightenment system, and I'm going to tell you everything I know from start to finish, and you're going to be troubled. Then after you're troubled, something else is going to happen to you. But it's a good thing. Because after you're troubled, then you become astonished. Then after you're astonished, then you're going to rule. Now, what is it about what I know that allows you to rule? Because it gives you the balance of between the forces or the two poles that are within you. This balance is the harmony that you're looking for. Without this balance, you're going to operate in extremism, one or the other. You won't understand that, like, for example, the name Solomon. The name Solomon means S-O-L, soul, like the solar plate, and it has to do with the sun. Moon, Amon, has to do with the moon. So the name Solomon is soul of our man, or soul, which is sun, and mole, Amon, which is moon. So the name Solomon means sun and moon. It talks about heteros gamas. Even the name, what about the name, like, Bathsheba? So the name Bathsheba actually means, if you go to Wikipedia and you do some research on the name Bathsheba, it actually means daughter of seven. So the number of seven represents the number of completion. So the number six, again, 666, in order for you to be, that's why sevens, people who have the life path number seven, they're so profoundly intelligent because they represent completion. They are the daughters or the sons of completion. That's what Bathsheba, Queen Sheba, Sheba 7. And so we have to understand this stuff, like everything in the Bible is an allegorical as well as possibly a physical, because it has an outside meaning and an inside meaning. So a lot of us have the outside meaning, but we don't have the inside meaning, because when you get the inside meaning, you become troubled. So what is it about what I know that makes you troubled? See, the thing that makes you troubled, brothers and sisters, is all the stuff that I have inside of my book. So what's inside of this book that is so troubling? Why can we just can't, you know, hey, you know, why can we just all just get along? What is it about the truth that makes us so troubled? Because it's so far outside of what you've been taught. Most people have never even heard of Mithra. So they don't know nothing about Mithra, and they don't know nothing about the word Ptah. Let's just say some of the basic Christian terms or words that we use in Christendom, just basic stuff, everyday words, like reverend and doctor and bishop and all of this stuff. All of these are terms, brothers and sisters, that are given to us, and we never examine them, because once we examine them, we become troubled. Because astrology is simply the interpretation of the stars. And the Bible talks about it and explains astrology. It talks about, in the Gospel of Enoch, Barachiel, who taught astrology, and Kokabel, who taught the constellations. So this was given to us, this study of astronomy and astrology was given to us by some fallen angels. Now, that don't mean anything. At least we know where it came from, though. A lot of people don't even know that. And once you know that, that becomes trouble, because then you discover. Dis, again, means to like un, and then cover. It means to uncover something. So once you discover something, then you realize that you are, when Jesus talked about the disciples, it's dis and then iples, I-P-L-E-S. And the word apostles is the A and it's a post. It's apostles or apost or apostolite. Even the word pastor is the word pa, as in patar, and star, S-T-O-R, star. So it's pa, again, which means father, or patar, and S-T-A-R, S-T-O-R, means aster or star. So again, the word pastor means great star, or father star, or the star. Now, I was a minister, licensed and ordained for 10 word, and the word minister means men or many, and then aster, star, men. Has to do with the root word that comes from also the word many, small, and the word moon, which means, again, S-T-O-R, which means star. So thus, a minister is a moon star or a mini star. And the pastor is the big star. Look at the word monastery, mon or month, or mon, a monster, asteri, a monster, asteri, mystery, like a mystery monster, monastery. That's why, and all of these terms, and we can go on and on and on looking at these words, and each one of these words establishes our worlds. But when you start breaking down these terms and these worlds, you start unraveling this world, and then you get into the understanding of something as simple as the look at our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Y'all have seen all of the pictures where people post how the Freemasons put that owl. And if you look at the Washington, D.C., if you look at, you know, it from a elevated place, and you look down on the nation's capital, it looks like something, like somebody purposely, from an aerial view, you see some crazy stuff. You see a pentagram pointing to the White House. You see the pyramid on top of the Capitol. All this just is reference to the obelisk. Why in the world would we get an obelisk in Washington, D.C.? Where did the obelisk come from? There ain't no obelisk in America, so that obelisk came from Egypt. So why in the world would you go and get an obelisk from Egypt and bring it over here to Washington, D.C.? What are they trying to tell us? So when you start studying this stuff, what happens? You become troubled because the truth slaps you in the face. And the truth ain't no joke. Because, again, it's facts. It's not fiction. So you got to deal with it. So the first time and the first step, and when you go through this series and the rest of my series, You're either going to have to deal with this trouble or you're going to reject this trouble. You're going to do what I did. I ran from it. I was like, yeah, I'm not ready for this. I'm out. And that's okay. At least, brothers and sisters, you don't have to change your belief system. If your belief system is working for you, you keep rolling with it. I tell people this all the time. You know, we don't have to, or you don't have to believe what I believe. All you got to do is just have a belief system that works for you. Because when you believe, when you study what I study, it's going to cause trouble. So let's look at, most of us are in this state. So why does the truth cause trouble? Because, again, it calls cognitive dissonance. So your beliefs, when you gather in new facts, causes you to examine the old facts. And when you review your beliefs and you ask certain questions with non-attachment, you have to be totally biased in order for this to work. Do they have a solid basis, and do they serve you well? When you look at your beliefs and you ask them, are my beliefs based upon a solid basis, historical facts, based upon spiritual and scientific evidence, or whatever that you are using, whatever type of information that you are using to establish your belief, when you examine your beliefs up against the facts that I present to you, from a place of non-attachment, there's no emotional attachment, then you're able to do what I do. You're able to drop all feelings of threat, and you start to examine these adopted beliefs, because, again, they were not nothing that you've researched. It's not based upon any of the concrete evidence. It's not based upon you. It was given to you. So now you're an adult. Now you have the opportunity to go through and start to look at, how can I identify the truth? Do you see truth? What are the major impacts of this belief system? Because when you start doing that, what happens is you start to find out that there are certain things in your belief system that got holes in it. And it could be diet, it could be exercise, it could be relationships, whatever. Whatever. And we just happen to be talking about spiritual insight today. That belief system or that this examination process can be done with any of the four major systems that I talk about: wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. I know I had a lot of holes in my belief system when it came to wealth. I had to really, really examine that. And when I examined it, I found out that my belief system in the area of wealth was flawed, because I really didn't even have no belief system. The only belief system I had that I was told was, boy, you go to school, get a job, and you go to work. So that was my belief system. Didn't say what school, didn't say what job, didn't say anything. Just say go to school, learn something, go get a job. So I thought that was going to make me wealthy. And then I did that. I went to school, got a job, and I realized that I was just doing just enough to keep from getting fired. It was paying me just enough to keep from firing me. And I wasn't happy. So that belief system was flawed. So I had to change that belief system, but I had to examine it from a place of non-attachment. But why did I examine it? Because I wasn't happy with it. And why did I change it? Because I was troubled by it. Excuse me. Why was I troubled by it? Because the evidence, the tradition, the authority, the association, and the revelation led me to a place where I saw some spiritual insights. And I had to change my core beliefs. I had to redefine some things. And by redefining those things, that led to this thing that we call trouble. Trouble is not necessarily a bad thing from a spiritual perspective, because when I say trouble, what am I saying? I'm just saying that something doesn't add up. Something doesn't add up. There's a lot of astrological inside of the book, the chapter on astrotheology. So there's a lot of astrotheological information that's very similar to our biblical information that causes one to be troubled from the traditional spiritual perspective. That, now, according to the Gospel of Thomas, that's the first step. So what causes you to be troubled? There's some information that causes you to examine. If there was no Jays back at the time that he existed, how in the world could his name be Jesus? Now, for most people, they're just going to dismiss that. It doesn't mean anything. Okay? That's no problem. But again, question, it's going to cause trouble. Why? Because you got to answer it. You ain't got no answer. Now, we can go through all of this stuff, but, you know, that's not the point of the message. The point of the message today is the fact that when you find the truth, this is how you know that it's the truth, because it's going to cause trouble. Why does it cause trouble? Why does the truth cause trouble? Because the Bible says that the truth will make you free. It didn't say that it's going to ask. It didn't say anything that it's going to do. Now, we should define that word truth because it comes from the Greek word aletheia. And I've talked about this many, many, many shows, so I'm not going to, you know, waste your time by going over that again. But that word aletheia in the Greek means objective, means object, means objectivity. So the trouble means that there's going to be a disturbance in your mental calmness. It's going to cause distress. It means that you're not going to be content anymore. Now, you used to be happy-go-lucky with whatever belief system that you had. But when you find the truth, according to the Gospel of Thomas, something happens. Now, even according to the Helios Biblios, or according to the Bible, even that causes trouble. So why is it called Helios, Son, or Soul, Biblios, Book, or Body? Soul of the body, solar plex in the body. So there's, according to Chi and the Prana, which I have inside of my book, there's something that is about 2 inches below your navel. Your navel the power is the source of what they call the inside or the interior sun, S-U-N. We break that down in the series. Find the truth. The truth does something. It says that the truth shall set you free. It doesn't ask. You just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to break the chains. Now, John chapter 8, verse 31 says, John chapter 8, verse 31. So he said to the Jews who had believed him, notice how the truth comes in. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. So my disciples. Verse 32, and we break that down in the series. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are Abraham's descendants, they answered. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? That is the problem. How can you fix a problem that you don't have? The reason that these three steps are not experienced by more people in the world is because of John chapter 8, verse 33. It said, dude, we got the Abrahamic religions. And anybody asks them where they got them from or nothing, they say, hey, how can we be set free when we already free? Now, go to the average Christian and tell them exactly what I just said. Tell them, hey, dude, I want to talk to you about the truth. They said, Negro, we got the truth already. That's the problem. You can't fix something that's not broken. So if you're walking around broken but you think you fixed, hello, we got a problem. And so most people don't understand the five keys to establishing the belief, which is gathering evidence, looking at your tradition, finding somebody or something in a position of authority who can speak on that for you or assist you with that. Associate, hang around with people in that same demographics, that same group, that same methodology of thinking, and that is going to result in a major shift in your revelation. So this evidence, this tradition, this authority, this association, this revelation brings about a powerful change in your belief system. But guess what? When you do those five things, you're going to be in deep kimchi. Because why? Now you're going to be a man or a woman without a country. You're going to be disturbed. Your mental calmness is going to be gone. You won't be content any longer. You're going to have a sense of worry and doubt. You're going to be agitated. You're going to be very distressful. You want to exert some bodily pain upon somebody. I love the way it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, your spirit is going to be vexed, vexation of spirits. Man, my spirit was vexed for a long time. I love the word vex, V-E-X, because that word vex means torment. It means trouble. So you are going, now I've done a whole series on vexation of spirit. That's how you know that you got the truth. So if your spirit has never been vexed, you've never experienced the truth. Now, the word vex, again, it means to discuss or debate. That means that you're going to be vigorously, you're going to go to a great length. The word vex means that your emotion has been disturbed. It means that you are irritated and ignored. That means that you have been provoked beyond provocation. Vexed. It means that you, brothers and sisters, you have been harassed to a point. So the truth harasses you. It just hangs around. Truth is interesting. The truth is like it's like a lion. See, lions, they don't really need no help defending themselves. Lions, you just let them go. You ain't got the you know, like a sister lion in the jungle. Lions, they just maul things. Especially if you get like two or three male lions, they just go through, they just maul. They just man. See them nature flicks. Them hyenas don't stand a chance against a male lion. Now they'll pick on the female lions, but a male, full grown male lion, no. That's the truth. The truth is a full grown male lion. Just let it go. You watch it maul stuff. You ain't got to do nothing. Just get out the way. So number one, the truth again is gonna really, really vex you, brother, sister. So I'm just letting you know. It's gonna disturb you. It's gonna agitate you. You're gonna be ignored. Your emotional balance is going to be off, and it's going to stay off. You're going to be in a turbulent place. So when people listen to my stuff, a lot of times they read my books, this is what it calls. It calls, so man, I was coming to you for answers, and I'm just, now I'm in a turbine, troubled. I'm in a turbulent place. That's okay. That's exactly what should happen. Your mental state or condition, you should be in a place of mental discomfort, mental unrest, mental malfunctioning, and mental distress. If you're not, brother, sister, you have not experienced the truth. Keep looking. According to the Gospel of Thomas says, hey, dude, keep going. He said that whoever finds the interpretation of these things will not experience death. Death, this is what you're going to experience. Gospel of Thomas. Verse 2, let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. And when he finds, he becomes troubled. When he becomes troubled, he becomes astonished. So step 2, after you get through being troubled, you're angry, you're pissed off, you're vexed, your spirit upset, you don't want to know. You like me, you just curl up in a fetal position. Now, hopefully you don't go through as long as I did. Hopefully you can get through it in more than 20 years like it took me. Hopefully you're not as deeply invested. See, if you spent 40 years building an empire, then you find out that empire was false. Yeah. Good luck with that, brothers and sisters. Hopefully that's not your case. Because next, after you've been troubled, you are astonished. To be astonished. See, the word astonished is like the word astonish. It's like I'm going to astone. It's like putting somebody, picking up, like you've been stoned. The word astonished means that you are suddenly in a state of, like, befuddlement. The word astonished is actually the word thunder. It means thunder or tonar-ish. So it's like astonished means like a stone. Pick up, and I'm gonna throw a stone. But the word astonished, it means stunned. It means you dazed. It means you're going to be like I was. I was laying up in that fetal position. When I left the entire state, brothers and sisters. So I was in the state of Texas, San Antonio, like bumping in people from my old church and say, hey, Minister Rogers, man, the pastor said that, brother, for us, we can't hang out with you anymore. So my children can't play with your children. They said that, you know, brother, that you was into some this, that, and the other. Like, really? They said, yeah, brother, you're the bad guy. Your name comes up pretty much in every service. Oh, really? So I ended up moving to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Got there, and I was in a day. I was lost. The word astonished means, again, that you are stunned. I like that word stunned or stun. Because when you stun something, it means to deprive or deprave of consciousness. Oh, man, I shouldn't be laughing because it's really not funny, because I know I almost put a bullet in my head. As you guys know, in January 1st of 2009, I was contemplating it, man. I was laying in a fetal position. I was about ready to punch the ticket. Because why? I had no consciousness. My mind was blown. Astonishment means that you're shocked. That means that your consciousness is overwhelmed, and it's so overwhelmed that you are in a state of bewilderment. To be stunned, brothers and sisters, it simply means that it is a condition, a mental condition, that your brain is overwhelmed with a plethora of information that it can't process it. It's like it can't be true. That's what I don't know if y'all, I don't know how to even explain it. I don't even know how do you explain that when your brain is totally and completely overwhelmed and it is devoid of feeling, that means that you have been overpowered. That means that there have been superior forces that came in and destroyed and crushed your consciousness. That's what happened to me. So your consciousness is crushed because you have received some facts, and these facts were so astonishing that it stunned. It's like getting, you ever seen somebody get hit with a stun gun? And you notice when that taser hit them, how their body locks up? You got to go to YouTube and type in stun gun or taser and watch some of the tapes. Now, when I was a police officer, we had to go through it. We had to get tased. Have y'all ever been tased? I've been tased. But this is a mental tasing. So my physical body, it locked up. So when I found the truth, after about the troubled part for me lasted for about 6 or 7 years. But then I got stunned, part two. So part two lasted a good 10 years. So for 10 years, I slept with every female I could. I violated every freaking scripture I could find. If it was in the Bible, I violated it. I was so angry, man, y'all don't even know. Man, that is no way I could even begin. I wouldn't, if I would have been a drug addict, thankfully I didn't do drugs or alcohol. I don't know why I just drugged them, but my, what my was, oh man, I was a womanizer. And I went from job to job, and I was a male whore, for lack of a better term, and I just blew money. Like I tell you guys, I went through $20,000 in a week. I was just angry. I lived in a way where I was defying death. I looked God in the face and said, take me, homie. I had no reason to live. Why? My brain was overpowered. That was a superior force that came in and crushed the force that was there. So my consciousness, I was devoid of consciousness. That's what it means, brothers and sisters. Astonished. Now, unless you've been there, you'll have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But just hang on. If you haven't been astonished, if you haven't been stunned yet, hang on. When you read some of the stuff I got in this book, that's why this series, like so far, I think there's about three people that will be receiving this book, The Biology of the Temple of God. I'm not really like that. This is a, now I tried, you know, I was at 800 pages. I was like, there's no way I could, you know, I can't give people that much information. It's gonna mess people up. So I had to break it down because I got to give it to you in bite-sized pieces because the truth, brothers and sisters, it overpowers. It's an excessive amount. That's what the Gospel of Thomas means. It's an excessive. It means the flood waters. It means that it's an avalanche. It means that you're going to be submerged. It means that you are buried beneath a mass of evidence. You buried. It means your consciousness is buried. There was a dude on Facebook yesterday. He tagged me in. He was debating with this dude. I went on their Facebook page. I made one comment. I don't debate. I educate. I dropped one comment on there. The next thing I know, that dude befriended me and sent me an email on the side. Like, man, what does that mean, dude? One comment, and it destroyed his whole belief system. That's why I can't tell people what I believe. We would not be friends. Now, you will see if you get this book, The Biology of the Temple of God. Because you're going to be troubled. Because it's overwhelming. It's just overpowering. It's excessive amount. It is so overwhelming. It is so overwhelming that it causes, again, it pushes you over the whelm, over the cliff. It means that your thoughts are overpowered. It means that your emotions and your system, that means that there is a profuse, concentrated amount of something. It means to turn something upside down and overthrow it. So it means that your whole world is going to be turned upside down, and then somebody's going to kick you in the butt. After they turn you upside down, shake all the money out of the pockets, it's like you ever been beat up by a bully. Now, thankfully, I've never got beat up to the point where somebody actually turned me upside down. shook me, and then kicked me in the butt. That's what this word means, astonished. So if that has not happened to you, you ain't got the truth yet. Not my level of truth. Because my level of truth, you get to the point, you got option A and option B. Those are the only two options you got. The truth, which is option C, ain't on the table. So how you supposed to find it if it ain't even figured on the table, man? So you mean to tell me I got to choose between good and evil? I got the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? I got to choose between good and evil, good and evil, good and evil. I don't want to choose either one of them suckers, good and evil, good and evil. What's the other tree? I'm sorry, sir, we don't have no other trees. This is ours. You go to the menu. I'm going to a Chinese restaurant. They only serve Chinese food. I don't want Chinese food, man. I want a hamburger. Sir, you're at a Chinese restaurant. We only say egg rolls and fried rice. Dude, I don't want egg rolls, fried rice. I want an American hamburger. So how do you get a burger at a Chinese restaurant? Can you see the conundrum? Can you see the problem that we are in? So you got to order something. Now, they got hamburgers. They got the ability. I know they got hamburger meat back there. I know they can make a hamburger. It's not on the menu, brother. It's not on the menu. So the Catholic Church, the Council of Nicaea, the powers that be, the shadow government, the Dracos, the Anunnakis, the lizard men and women that run this country, they don't even allow you to experience the truth. So every person that is on mainstream TV or media is a puppet. Everyone. There is not one person. You never get on TV speaking the truth if you... They will put a bullet in your head before people like me get on TV. I'm not even trying to get on TV. I value my life too much. Even the people, man, have you ever heard the true story of Dr. Martin Luther King? I don't want to bust, black folks' bubble, but have you ever heard the truth? I mean, like, really, the true story? Have you ever heard the true story of Dr. Martin Luther King? Triple dare you to Google esoteric information about Dr. King. You would not believe it. So you mean to tell me, how in the world black folks get behind? I mean, the truth is so out there. So you mean to tell me we was marching and fighting and doing all this stuff for civil rights? What about criminal rights? So you mean to tell me black folks was happy with just civil rights, not human rights? We didn't want human rights. We didn't want criminal rights. All we wanted to do was just civil. We was happy with just the civil rights. And they found somebody who would promote. See, when people start to uprise, you give them a carrot or a crumb. And most fools are so happy with the crumb, they stop searching. So back in the day, the priests saw people were searching for the truth of spiritual truth, so they gave us a crumb called Christianity. And we was cuckoo. We went cuckoo for cuckoo puffs, or however they said, over the crumb. And you're so happy with eating crumbs. Now, let me talk about myself. I can go apply for a job. I do this all the time. Let's talk about my current business. I'm so happy making, $40,000, $50,000 a year. That's people doing exactly what I'm doing, making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year. But I'm so happy with the crumbs. And it's not even about the amount of money. It's about the worth and the value. Now, I've been up all night working on this book, 3 days straight. And a part of me was just like, hey, I just want to give it away to everybody. Everybody needs to read this book, The Biology of the Temple of God. This book should be selling for at least about $300-$400 minimum. I started with 600 pages. I had to narrow it down. I'm down to 400 pages. But if you don't know your worth and your value, brothers and sisters, then you're going to do what I've been doing. That's why I'm charging $5,000 to do anything now. I can't even talk to nobody anymore unless we're talking $5,000. Now, that means I'm going to alienate all my friends. That's okay. I got to get new ones. But why am I doing it? Because of the truth. Because, brothers and sisters, people do what is amazing. I've never met anybody that has not been able to come up with the funds for things that they want to do. And that's me and anybody else. I pay for stuff I want. If I don't want it, I ain't paying for it. I don't see value in it. So, brothers and sisters, you're going to be troubled, and you're going to be astonished. Now, you thought trouble was bad? Wait till you get to step two, astonishment, because you will be turned upside down and thrown overboard. You are going to be over the whelm. The word whelm means engulf. It means submerged.
It means a surge over something. It means to become submerged. See, the truth, man, I love the truth. I love the truth. I love the truth. That's why I die for the truth. You put a bullet in my head right now. I will die for the truth. Not too many people know. You know why I will die for the truth? Because the truth cannot be ignored, and it cannot be disproven, at least my truth. I don't know. Everybody else, you can debate. Nobody can debate. I ain't never lost a debate. I can't wait till I get a chance to meet Brother Polite, sit down and talk. Because, you know, he's a brother, you know, like on my level. His brother comes with some serious stuff from the Egyptology, you know, stuff or whatever. But I got something that's a superior force. Now, whether he believes it or not, it's not a study for another time. I'm not trying to believe anybody. I just want to present truth. Just let it stand out there. You just push the truth out the door, and guess what? You push it out the door. When you push the truth out the door, guess what happens? Number three, stage three. The third thing that happens when you have, first of all, you're troubled, then you're astonished, and then you rule over all. But notice what it says. It did not say you rule over all. It says you rule over the all. Now, my brothers and my sisters, what the beep is the all. Now, you're going to rule over something, but you're going to rule over the all. Now, for me, the all is the all-seeing eye. Now, in my book, I have a chapter that breaks down the all. Chapter 11 of the book is called the temple eye. Some people call it the pineal gland. It's a cookie blower. That's why, when you get to this level of understanding, is that you don't do fear, you don't do doubt, you don't do unbelief, you don't even do, you know, like some people call me, like my family, friends, my wife, my children, can we get like an emotion out of you? Are you like, are you even here? Because something bad happened and everybody look at me. And it's like, man, this dude don't, he got no reaction. The all, brothers, when you rule over the all, that is a part of the all-seeing eye. That is the absolute. That is what is called the supreme mind. So some people call it the universal matar or mother. So the all, brothers and sisters, depending on what belief system you got and where you're from, whether it's from a her hermeneutical point of view, it's called a monad, M-O-N-A-D. You receive the monad. Now, it's a Greek word that means a unit. It has to do with the causality. So everything that causes, you rule over that. In other words, it is the totality of all beings. It is the ability to conceive the totality of the universe. It is the indivisible unity or the origin of all things. It is indivisible. Indivisible. Hear, O Israel, that the Lord your God is one. When you get the truth and you go through trouble, you go through astonishment, then they let you in. Until then, you can't get in. You got to go through those steps. That's the price you got to pay to exist in the monad. Now, again, the monad is the point of what they call finiteness or divinity. It's the point where a single cell starts to divide through what is called mitosis. Or cell division. So if you go all the way back to the single cell, that's the monad. So you rule over that. All geometrical shapes comes from the monad. Now, the Greeks call it the pleroma. Now, brothers and sisters, you want to blow your cookies? Type that in. Google pleroma. This is what you get when you rule over or when you go through these steps. Now, the word pleroma is a Greek word that refers to totality of divine powers. Now, this gives you, like for me, I'm not interested in breaking wood, and I'm not interested in like Bruce Lee type stuff, going out and, you know, using your quote-unquote chi to exercise certain power. But if I could, if I wanted to do that, I could practice, could get control of my chi, my prana, my breath, my pneuma, my ruach, the Holy Spirit, and do some type of physical exploits. Yeah, I'm a metaphysician. I want to do mental exploits. I want to do spiritual exploits, which is what I'm doing. That is how you know, brothers and sisters, that you are enlightened, or that you are a truth seeker, or that you have become one with the Father. Because just like the Father, just like Jesus said, when you put on the mind of Christ, you will not count it robbery. You ain't going to be scarred. You ain't going to be scarred anymore. Because why? You're going to understand the pleroma, which means fullness. The Bible talks about the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. So the fullness of the Godhead, full, it means you're going to be full. Colossians 2:9. That is the conclusion of the whole matter. Colossians 2:9 says this. Every time I'm asked a question that, quote, unquote, I don't know, you know what I do? I take a deep breath, and I communicate, and then I go and I find a book, or I find some proof to back it up. Because, see, you can say anything, but nobody believes you unless you got some science or some spirituality or historical facts to go with it. And so I make statements first, and then I gather evidence second. Because I understand, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, through vain deceit, through the tradition of men, after the basic rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Christ, the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. My power comes from being christened. So my pineal gland. Now, do you know how to deactivate your pineal gland without doing all this mystical stuff that they talk about? I have it inside of my book, The Temple Eye, and it's very simple. You're not gonna believe it, but it works. And how you know? Because you feel it in your brain. You feel it right there between your two eyes. That part of your brain starts to almost like vibrate. It's the craziest thing. Now, one of the things is that I tell everybody to drink distilled water, because why? It at least starts to pull the fluoride out of the body. So that way, when you start doing the breathing and other things that I have in my book, it's going to allow you to activate the third eye, the pineal gland. So that way, what happens? You are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. So when you find the truth, you become complete in him, not outside of him, in him, which, again, he's the head of all principality and power. So if you connect it to him, anytime you need something, you are connected to the source. And since you're connected to the source, you're all-knowing, you're all-powerful, you're all-present. You have the ability to tap into that. You have the ability to tune into that frequency, that wave, or that vibration. Brothers and sisters, it's an awesome place to be. I thank God. This was a long battle for me, but I made it. It almost cost me my life. It did cost me my spiritual life, my old belief system, and now I got to keep evolving, and so do you, because keep evolving means to keep being in love. I'm in love with truth. I don't want to disrespect anybody, but unfortunately, I choose truth over food, over money, over women, over cars, over houses. I don't know. I've had a lot of those other things. They were all great. But it's just something about being in the flow of the know that overrides all of this other shizness that's offered here on earth. Friendship with this world that may mean that you can't tune in or get on the same frequency as the Father. So you have to choose. No man can serve two masters. He will love one and hate the other. Choose ye this day, my brothers. Choose ye this day, my sisters, whom you will serve. But let me tell you, if you're serving God, if you're serving the Ruach and the Pneuma, if you're serving the truth, not King James version of it, if you're serving the truth, you are going to go through those three stages if you not haven't gone went through them already. You're going to be troubled. You're going to be astonished. But after you finish those two, you're going to reign. And when you do that, verse 3, Jesus said, if those who lead you say to you, see the kingdom of God is in the sky, then the birds in the sky will precede you. If they say to you that it is in the sea, then the fish in the sea will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. Oh, man. It is inside of you, and it is outside of you. Y'all know what an atom is? We see you guys at 7 o'clock tonight. We break this down inside the series, The Biology of the Temple of God. My brothers and my sisters, love you, appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, is that a part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.